You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm also the host of Moms Don't Have Time to Lose Weight, and I'm the editor of the anthology, which you should run out and buy, called Moms Don't Have Time To, a quarantine anthology. All proceeds of that book go to COVID-19 vaccine research. And I'm the editor-in-chief of Moms Don't Have Time to Write, a new publication on Medium, and we're accepting submissions, so please send your personal essays there. And if all that isn't enough, you can follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens, and my website is zibbyowens.com. Okay, now back to this amazing podcast. Leanne Moriarty is the author of Apples Never Fall. She is the Australian author of 8 internationally best-selling novels, 3 Wishes, The Last Anniversary, What Alice Forgot, The Hypnotist Love Story, 9 Perfect Strangers, and the number one New York Times bestsellers, The Husband's Secret, Big Little Lies, and Truly Madly Guilty. Her books have been translated into over 40 languages and sold more than 20 million copies. Big Little Lies and Truly Madly Guilty both debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list, the first time this was ever achieved by an Australian author. Big Little Lies was adapted into a multi-award-winning HBO series. I've seen every single episode, with a star-studded cast, including Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon. Hulu is adapting 9 Perfect Strangers into a limited series starring Nicole Kidman and Melissa McCarthy, which also just came out. In fact, the day we did our podcast was when it was released. Her new novel, Apples Never Fall, is coming out now. Leanne lives in Sydney, Australia, together with her husband, son, and daughter. Welcome, Leanne. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Apples Never Fall.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I have to say, your unboxing video on Facebook was one of the funniest I've ever seen.
Thank you. I wasn't sure if it was too silly, but we decided it might seem to make people laugh. So,
it's so great to have your daughter do it, and then the box, and then all the additions. Anyway, it was great. You were hilarious. I was like, just very endearing.
Good.
So
Apples Never Fall. Let's talk about this. I know you've written so many other amazing books that I have inhaled and also watched and all that good stuff. But would you mind giving listeners a little sneak peek into what Apples Never Fall is about?
Yes. So Apples Never Fall is the story of the Delaney family, a family of tennis players. And what happens when Joy Delaney, who is 69, goes missing and her husband Stan becomes the chief suspect in her possible murder, and her four adult children have to deal with the possibility that that their father may have killed their mother, and factions form, and then they obviously have to re-examine their parents' marriage and everything they know about their family history.
Wow. One of the things that I loved about this book was that you kept giving us the vantage point of other sort of peripheral people, like the Uber driver and the waitress, and maybe they interact with just one of the characters, but you get this, like, we're all insiders, or like outsiders looking in, rather, yeah. Right? And you get that sense when you have all these other people showing us the story. It's a cool device.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I did that actually with my very first novel, with Three Wishes, and then I accidentally did it again because I enjoyed that. And actually, when I was doing it, I was thinking, I shouldn't do this again because you did that before. But then it allowed you to move the story forward.
Well, you see, you didn't even have to say anything. Nobody
knows. It was years ago that I did that.
But it's so great. I mean, I had dinner with a bunch of women writers last night, and we were all talking. We were at a restaurant, and we were all talking about how we were always like making up stories about all the people around us and wondering. And that curiosity, we were like, is it just people who like to write that are this curious about other people? Are we always just so in need of a story that we have to make it up? So,
I think it's a natural part of being human, the desire. Yeah. Make stories. And I know my own mother at restaurants will often, she'll have a vague look come across her face, and you can see she's eavesdropping in the table next to us. So, I think everybody does it.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the writers who then take it and put it into,
yes,
novels.
The writers use it, there you yes. go.
Yeah, use it as material. I thought it was so great, the way you depicted Joy, and it was almost like made me very sad, her sort of empty nest dumb, and how you just really encapsulated that feeling of emptiness and trying to pass the time. And I felt so sad for her when you have her like listening to podcasts so that she can like relate to her daughter and her migraines a little more by listening to the podcast about migraines and then using all those words. And the daughter's like, can you not do this, please? It's just, I feel like, especially at this time of year, this is for this book to come out when so many parents are dropping their kids at college or saying goodbye. Yeah. This, like, it doesn't matter if they're gone forever or gone for the year. It's that same sense of sort of longing and, what do you do with your time? So I felt like you got that.
Oh, thank you. I can't quite imagine it yet for myself. And it wasn't something I never think, I'm going to write about the emptiness syndrome. I just had this premise and then there she is. And then I think, oh, well, I guess this is what she's feeling. It sort of evolves as I'm writing the story. And then I'm imagining it for myself, what it will be like for me one day. I'd like them to stay at home forever.
Me too. I interviewed someone earlier today who, in her book, the mother says, well, how about you just stuff me like a, like an animal once I pass away? You can just keep me on the couch. All right, Stranger ideas across my mind, That's funny. So how did you come up with the premise of this book? Like, what was the part of it that was so interesting? Was it Savannah like coming at the front door and like picking this house seemingly at random, or was it the four kids, or like which part, or is it a part we can't discuss because it's too far along?
Three strands. So the first strand was that, like Joy, I had Joy receive a pair of fancy headphones from her husband, and my husband gave me some fancy headphones, which got me into podcasts. Actually came a little bit late to podcasts, but now I'm an avid listener. I can't cook dinner without listening to a podcast now. And so the first ones I listened to were true crime podcasts, and there are a few cases and also ones that I'd read about in the paper. But I was originally thinking I would give details of the particulars of those cases, because some of them are cold cases dating back years. But then very recently I saw Amanda Knox and her reaction to Stillwater, and it stopped me in my tracks a little bit, thinking it's really not the right thing to do to give specifics of something, even though I've definitely not taken anybody else's true story, but even saying this inspired me in a sort of cheerful promotional way now feels wrong. But so there, and anyway, there were multiple cases really that gave me this premise of what would you do, how would you feel if your mother was missing and your father was the chief suspect. And sadly, actually, that's not really an unusual situation. It's happening all the time that the women are going missing in countries all around the world, and the chief suspect is we're all sitting there watching the news and thinking, well, we know. So that was one premise. And so originally I was thinking, so that's your parents. And then I thought, would be more interesting if there are multiple children, because then you can have factions form and one sibling can react in one way and one the other way. So that's one side of it. There was a newspaper article I read where an elderly couple let a young woman into their house and then various things happened. So I liked the idea of somebody knocking on the door, which is, again, really that idea is comes, you know, the stranger knocks on the door has been used a lot of times, but I just had that. And then I had no idea how she would relate to my story. And the third little strand is that I had taken a year off from writing, or a year off where, because normally I have a book out every 2 years, but I had asked for an extra year. And so I was thinking that in that year I would just write, I'd get myself into writing without having the stress of a deadline. And I asked my sister Jackie, who is the author, Jacqueline Moriarty, to give me some writing prompts. And so she texted me a little, just three or four lines, which was a bike lying on the grass with a few apples spilled next to it. And so that became the opening scene of the book. So I was really meant to write a piece from it, but it turns out I don't actually know how to do that. I just started writing a novel. So that's a long answer to that question.
No, it's super interesting. I mean, that's a huge, you know, encouragement for people to use writing prompts. I get, yeah. I like subscribe to one of these things where every day I get a writing prompt and every day I delete it.
So. Do you? That's interesting. Because that's exactly the sort of thing I thought I would do in this year, because I was calling it the year of joy. And in fact, that's what I was calling the new novel The Year of Joy, and that's how I came up with the name Joy Delay. And I was thinking I'd just write for the joy of writing. But yeah, I'm not so interested in I couldn't write just a little piece. I wanted to write a story.
I thought you were going to say you took the third year off so you could get better at tennis.
I could answer this question forever. So a fourth strand is that my son is quite a good tennis player. So I was having a tennis lesson and try and keep up with him. And while I was having the lesson, I was thinking about my story, and I had thought to myself I would like my family to run a family business, which was really mainly so that I could keep them all in one place, because, you know, the convenience, so that you don't have them all going off to different jobs. So I thought to myself, oh, no, I'll have them run a tennis school then. And so then the funny thing is, then as the days go by, I think, well, I guess if they're running a tennis school, they're really into tennis, obviously. So perhaps they were former tennis players, perhaps they wanted all their children to be competitive tennis players. So again, tennis then became a big part of the story.
And the betrayal of the, you know, rising star, yes, who then, you know, the dad sort of never gets over.
Yes. Yeah.
These, you know, dot, 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 question mark, through lines of the stories, which I loved. I love it. I am a huge tennis player myself, not that good anymore, but I don't know. I love to play. I play a lot. And my husband actually taught tennis professionally for over a decade. And yeah, he was really, really good, like ranked and, you know, all that good stuff. So when I found tennis, there actually is surprisingly little tennis in fiction. I would think that it would be more. There's so many like analogies and scenes. So I was like, oh yeah, that's another, I love
it. And it worked, which you don't realize, you know, once you start thinking about tennis, how it does work so well. And created, so like your husband, were talking to competitive tennis players, so people who are really talented, I was just so fascinated by how you can have so much talent and put so much work into it, but obviously only the tiniest percentage actually make it to the very top. And so how do you feel when you put everything into it and you are that good, and then injury or whatever, for whatever reason, you don't make it? And talking to former players, one in particular, just I actually had no idea of the level of sacrifice that goes into it for the young kids. Yes. And the grief that this particular player, it felt like grief to me, the way he was talking about it when he was making that decision to give up tennis. It was fascinating.
I agree. No, we've talked a lot about the demands on the people, even the men on the circuit, and how difficult it is and how it's so hard even to make money. Even like, you know, player number 200 to number one, let alone number 500. And we're always like watching people on TV or at tournaments. I'm like, well, do you think you could beat him? And he's like, no, he's like the fifth best in the world, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but it's true. I mean, and the demands on the body as you get older, yeah. I mean, this is like off topic now, but it's like, you know, his friends and him, it's just like, you know, like any professional athlete after a while, really like, you have to just like shake the kids when they're younger and be like, okay, just so you know,
yes, that's
like
right. 20 years,
you're not going to be able to get out of bed very easily. But anyway, kind of like Stan, honestly, after he fixed his knees and, you know, he's still hobbling around and they said, don't run anymore. And of course, he's like right back on the court. There's just something that like calls you back.
It's just such a passion. And I just love that for, you know, in Truly Madly Guilty, I wrote about a cellist. So I just love seeing other people's passions, and you know, and obviously it helps with the story if there's something that you're obsessed with and that really drives you.
Yes. And tell me a little about this whole, you know, carrying on from the pain of like Stan's knees and everything, like having one of the sisters be a physio, like a physical therapist, and having her like hope that people get hurt. I thought that was so funny that she's like starting her own business and is like, oh good, you know, it's getting, you know, slippery, or maybe someone will slip today, or I don't know, just like hoping for the demise of people in her community.
Yeah, well, that was just, I can't actually remember why I decided to make her a physiotherapist, but I remember standing on the sidelines talking to a mother while our children played sport together, and she was a physiotherapist. So just talking about what the sort of things you need to do in the beginning and how you go along to sports fields, exactly like where we were, hoping to, you know, create a name for yourself. She didn't actually say hoping for people to get you.
Well, she didn't say it out loud. We just got to like speak into her head, which is even better. The things that people don't say out loud, right? That's even more fun. And what about the migraines? Do you get migraines, or was this just another like plot enhancer?
No, that was just an article I read. It was just a really well-written first-person article, I think, something like that, that just made me think the impact that it had on her life. So all my health issues that I've had are things that you get better. So people with chronic conditions, that it really affects everything about your life. I was just really taken by the way this person's life had been affected by it. And also, everything that I've ever had, there's a cure. You know, you go to the doctor and you get fixed. But knowing that these migraines can strike, that just the emotional side of it.
There's a really great book by Tio Williams, and now I'm like blanking on the name. Usually I remember.
Oh, no, I'm just actually reading it right now.
Oh, great.
Because I thought, oh, she's writing about migraines, and she's actually doing it.
Yes.
She's probably affected by migraines. She's doing it better than I did for Brooke. Yeah, so I'm only in the very early chapters. And what's it called? The 7 days of...
7 days of June. Yeah, 7 days of June. Yeah, I kept wanting to say 50 days, but I knew it wasn't 50.
Yes.
Okay. No, I had her on this podcast also and was talking to her about her migraine.
Oh, really?
So you can go back and listen in your spare time as you're cooking dinner.
You know what? I don't want to listen, because now I'm thinking if I listened, then I'd think, oh, I should have done this with Brooke. You know, once you finish a novel.
Too late.
Because you're still holding on to those characters, and then you think, oh, you do the very best you can with research and all that, but there's really nothing compares with experiencing it yourself.
That's true, I guess. Although you made it seem incredibly real.
Thank you.
You know, at least, I don't know. I was glad I wasn't suffering myself at the moment. So that's good.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much. Hey, grown-ups, the Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
So I've had one that was like, I had just had a baby and they thought it had something to do with like the chem, yeah. you know, and like your body's just so messed up from baby stuff anyway. But I could close my eyes and I would still see all these things like that were all over my computer.
Oh,
like,
really?
I'm not explaining this very well, but my vision was totally affected. Yeah. And I tried to close one eye and the other eye and they were like still there. And I was like, I can't see, my screen has like,
anyway. Yeah.
I don't know why I told that story, but anyway, in general, I'm fine, you know. So your sister gives you the writing prompt and you have this opening scene. When did you know like all the plot lines that would follow? How much did you just kind of do on the go versus sit down and like figure out ahead of time? And then once you got into it, like how long did it take to write this?
So I definitely do it all on the go. I know that Joy has disappeared, but I don't know where she is. And I don't know how this girl who knocked on the door a year ago, how that feeds into the story. So I love the fact that I don't plan because it makes my writing day interesting because I think I wonder what's going to happen today. But it's also a scary way to write because then I have to think, I hope something happens today. So there's a slight terror the whole time I'm writing if I can pull it off, if I can work out how they'll all tie together. And so I have lots, as I'm writing, I'm just thinking maybe it will be this, maybe it will be that. And then it just slowly evolves. And sometimes there's a little, you know, I might be out for a walk and I have a little spark and think, this I know. And in fact, with The Husband's Secret, where I had different storylines, I can always remember exactly the intersection where I'd stopped at, where I finally worked it out. which is why I always hate it if anybody in reviews said about that book, oh, it was so predictable. I think, how could you predict it? I couldn't predict what was going to happen. Aren't you clever? But anyway, and so, yeah, so, but I never want to give the impression that that means it's just all flowing, because obviously as I'm working it out as I go along, that means I have to go back and fix things. So I have a separate document called Things I Need to Fix. And once I know how it's all going to work out, then I need to go back and put in, you know, little, what are they called? I'm saying red flags, but I mean red herrings. Is that the word? Red herrings.
Yes. I didn't know what you meant, but yes, red herrings.
There's another word.
They lead you astray, yes, in different, yes, directions.
And also, there's another word. I'm at that age where words are disappearing. You know, you're putting little things in.
Clues.
There's something else we'll think of afterwards. I don't mean Easter eggs. That's not that. I don't mean that. Anyway, signposts. I mean signposts, oh, yes, things like that. And little things, and some little things, especially with this book that I'd written as part of the story, which I really enjoy. Actually, I really loved writing this book more than, I think because I had a little bit more time, which were just part of the story. And then as I wrote, I thought, actually, that has more significance now. I can make that more significant. And I enjoy that because I didn't have to go back and put it in, so it flowed naturally. You weren't sort of having to shove in a jigsaw piece. So that's such a pleasure when that happens.
Interesting. So you've written many books. They've become so successful. Like, how do you feel about still doing publicity? Like, how do you feel about like getting on Zooms and having to talk about this book after so many books and after all of the success? Like, you know, how do you deal with it? How do you fit it into the day? How do you feel about the whole, because it's part of being an author, right? Is having to get out there and like talk about
it. And it's interesting. It's not something I've really worked out in my own head yet. So first of all, I enjoy talking to you because you're lovely.
Thank you.
So this is perfectly lovely. It's afterwards that I'll then go through self-loathing and think of some, I don't know, I'll just loathe myself for something I said, which I need to get over that sort of agony of self-consciousness about it all once it's done. And so I couldn't talk to you and then sit down and write, because I've talked too much about myself, and the whole point of writing is to lose your sense of self. And so right now I feel I'm performing as a writer rather than actually writing. So I do, it is part of the job. I love doing events, and I love meeting readers. That's a really special part of the job for me, and I'm really sad that this time around there won't be any face-to-face events with readers. So I'm really upset about that. I'm looking forward to when I can meet readers again. Yeah, but the publicity side of it, I'm grateful too, because also I have a background in advertising and marketing. So I can't pretend I'm the sort of person who is, you know, I understand the way the world works, and I want people to know about my books. I just wish I wasn't the product. That's where the agony of self-consciousness. So I feel like maybe when I'm 60, I'll work it all out and be really cool, and I'll have lost all the strangeness about this part of it.
Hmm. I feel like I always used to think that it was just age that would fix things, that I had, yeah, like, it doesn't.
No, I know.
Like,
I know.
Something has to happen. I did all these interviews with my grandmother before she passed away, and actually both my grandmothers, about eating, because they were always like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that. And I'm like, you guys are in your 90s. Yeah. Like, does this never end, yeah, right? So, and I did this whole survey of all these women in the nursing home, and for most of them, it never ended. So I was like, at the time, I was, I think, in my 30s or something, and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to get over, like, feeling guilty about dessert now, because if nothing happens between, yes, now and then, like, it's just not going to resolve because I got older.
That's such a good point. So I shouldn't wait till, I should sort it out myself.
Yeah, you better get on that, like, you know.
Well, I had always thought there's a certain type of woman who comes to my events, and at first I thought she was in her 50s, but I think they're actually in their 60s. And there's this wonderful age where they're really cool, and they've seemed to have just got themselves together before, you know, you have limitations of old age. And without, and I had this theory that you lose all their anxieties, that there's some age where they just don't seem to, they just look great and they don't seem to care anymore. They're just having a good time. So I'm looking forward to that. But you made a good point that I've got to actually make that happen myself.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just eating that never gets resolved. Who knows? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe one day we'll both wake up and anxiety will be gone. But it's so deeply entrenched. I don't know how to like pull it out.
Yeah, yeah. The eating things, it's ridiculous that they're in their 90s still thinking about, well, dessert. Have your dessert.
Right? Like who's looking? What does it matter?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Right? My grandmother went to Curves until like the week that she passed away. It's like, I know. I'm like, Goggy, like what? It's okay. You know? Anyway, so I'm like throwing in the towel now. I'm like, forget it. You know? Do you have any advice for aspiring authors?
So, well, first of all, for very young aspiring authors, I always say lead an interesting life. So, you know, do multiple jobs, travel when you're allowed to travel, if you're offered to take a journey across dangerous terrain, take that journey. Although I wouldn't say that to my own children, so now I...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm not letting my kids listen to this one.
That's right. So, no, other people.
Other people's kids can go across really dangerous terrain,
but don't blame us. That's right. So my point really is just to, you need lots of material to call upon when you sit down to write, and read lots and write for the pleasure of writing. I think a lot of aspiring authors get caught up in the industry questions, and should it be double spaced, and how do I make sure nobody steals my ideas? There's always people love that. They love that concrete bit of advice about, you know, that strange thing of posting it, your manuscript to yourself and not opening it, which I don't even know if that works. But people think that's something, oh, yes, okay, I'll do that. Really, you've got to sit down and write. That's the main thing. Oh, and so, of course, it's hard to sit down and write, especially for your first novel, to keep going. It's not hard, perhaps, to write your first chapter, but to finish something is difficult. And so my first book I wrote as part of a master's degree, so it just meant that it was like homework. And so I had people each week, so I had to do it. But the same could be achieved from joining a writer's group or having even just a friend just saying something that makes you accountable. So in a way, I hate to bring it back to food, but in a way it is a bit like being on a diet, that, you know, these group programs work if you're telling people how you're going rather than just quietly sitting there. Of course, that will work for some people, but if you're finding yourself frustrated, then I think it helps to have a friend or join a writing group or whatever works for you, just to make you finish it.
Accountability is always key. Can you give us just a sneak peek at what the next book is, or do you not know yet?
No, I have nothing, nothing at all. No, so I don't know.
But I just read that this will be developed into what, TV or a movie or something attached with, Heyday is attached.
Yes, so David Heyman, who produced the Harry Potter films and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and favorite movie of mine, Marriage Story, has optioned it. I think I've become the TV lady, so I think it's most likely to be TV. I don't mind either way.
It's very exciting. Wow. And as I was driving here, I'm in LA right now, by the way, there was like a huge billboard for Nine Perfect Strangers. And I was like oh, it'd be so funny if I could grab my phone and take a picture. But then I was like, then I'm going to crash and not get to do this podcast at all. So forget it.
No, I'll just, you know, anyway.
Yeah. But that's exciting too. So much on the horizon.
Today, it's literally today that it starts. So
Oh, well, there you go. Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's excellent. Well, thank you for all this time of yours. So generous of you, and best of luck. I'm excited to, you know, watch this launch and all the excitement around that. And
no, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.